Kendra, unbelievable to see everybody. At the very beginning of discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim, we learned the Haggadah, everybody has to participate. Everybody has to do their part to contribute to the incredible experience. Even the very wise people, they can't just rest on their laurels. They have to have new insights, fresh perspectives to add and to contribute to the Seder night. And we learned this in the Haggadah. Vafil kulanu chachamim, even if we're all chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu zikenim, kulanu yodim et ha-Torah, we all know we're stark, we're holding. We know kol ha-Torah kula, mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'siyas Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah for all of us to discuss b'siyas Mitzrayim, v'chol ha-mar b'l'saper b'siyas Mitzrayim harei zeh meshubach. And the more we discuss, the more we elaborate and get into the nitty, the gritty, the details, the more praiseworthy. So from the very beginning, discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have this incredible charge to pick up the pace. No matter what we've learned in the past, add to the conversation, add insights, never rest on our laurels. And says Rabbi Frant, shout out to Drew from Neri Yisroyo, Rabbi Frant says, perhaps this idea of constantly increasing our knowledge, adding to our understanding levels of Yedias, this is what was the beginning of the Geula. This is what spurred the redemption process. We see this with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, as a very loyal shepherd, he noticed the sight of the burning bush. And the Torah says, Vayomer Moshe, Asur na v'areh et ha-mareh ha-gadol hazeh. I'm going to turn aside and look at this great sight. I'm going to look. Madu l'yivar hasneh. Why is the bush not burning? Why is the bush not burning? I'm going to look and see what is going on here. And in response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo reveals himself to Moshe. The very next pasuk says, Vayar Hashem kisar lerot, Hashem saw that Moshe turned to see, Vayikra alav Elohim mitoch hasneh, and he called out to Moshe from amongst the bush, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe Vayomer hineni. Unbelievable. The question is, what did Moshe do to merit divine prophecy, divine revelation? What did he do? He looked at the bush, and now he was zoriche to this incredible, incredible revelation of Hashem. And the Medrash, the Yalkut Shimoni, cites two opinions. Rav Yochanan says, what did Moshe do? He took three steps towards the Sneh. Took three steps to investigate. Reish Lakish, his brother-in-law, says, he just twisted his neck to look. He craned his neck to look. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you troubled yourself to see Moshe, now I'm going to reveal myself to you. Wow, fascinating Medrash. Again, we could ask a question. This is minimal effort. He took three steps forward, he turned his neck to look at the bush, and now Moshe Rabbeinu is the recipient of this divine prophecy, divine revelation. What did he do? What did he do? Says Rav Simcha Zissel Broyd, he was the Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva Chevron in Yerushalayim, where many of you are right now, something so beautiful. Success in Yiddishkeit is dependent on that thirst for knowledge. Success in Avodas Hashem is being thirsty, being hungry for more Torah, being thirsty, being motivated for more growth, more insights, more understanding. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old at this point. 80 years old. He accomplished so much. An extremely accomplished individual. But he never rested on his laurels. He never stopped. It was never enough. He didn't just say, I've done enough. I'm 80 years old. He wanted to learn more. He wanted to see more. He wanted to grow more. And therefore, he went to look at the burning bush. The Medrash says, other shepherds were at the same site. Other shepherds were present at the time, but they didn't even turn their necks to look at it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I need to learn more. I need to see more. It doesn't matter what stage of life I'm at. I need to learn and investigate more. And therefore, he was zoiche to this divine revelation, this divine process, which spurred the redemption process. And it's not the only time Moshe Rabbeinu displays this trait. After being up in Har Sinai 40 days, 40 nights, to be mekabel the Torah, Gedosha, he comes down and he's a special light, a karnehod, a special light on his face. Very powerful, glowing light. And again, where does this light come from? Where did it emerge from? Chazal tells us in Shmos Rabbah that when Moshe Rabbeinu finished writing the first Sefer Torah, there was a drop of ink that was left in the quill. It was smeared on his head, and now he had this special light. Wow. A little bit of ink left at the bottle once he's done with the Sefer Torah, and now this little bit of ink gets smeared on his forehead, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had the shining light. Certainly, this is a very nice mashal, allegorical medrash, but the commentators ask, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow there to be a little drop of ink left? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvodo v'atzmo, knows exactly how much ink it took to write the Torah Kedoshah. Why would he orchestrate a scene where there's even a little bit of ink left? Says Rabbi Frand and others, something so beautiful. What does little ink represent? What was it trying to teach? There's always a drop of Torah left to learn. We should always be thirsty for another drop, another drop. Even though Moshe just finished writing the Torah, he finished writing the Torah, there's always an ink left. There's always a drop left. We should always be thirsty and hungry for more. Moshe Rabbeinu, he had this attitude, he had this mentality, and therefore he was zoiche to have that shining light glimmering off his face for everybody to see. And what a beautiful, beautiful idea. There's always more to learn. There's always another drop left in the bottle. We should always have that mentality to be thirsty, to be thirsty, to be excited to learn more. I want to go to sleep, maybe one or two more minutes. Maybe I'll stay a little bit more in Seder to get that Rashi, get that Tosfos, get that Rashba. I see somebody needs help, I'm a little tired, I'm going to push a little more. I'm going to push a little more. There's always that mentality of, I could do more, I could accomplish more, I could be more. It's a perspective on life that we should be zoiche and zoiche to have. So Bezrat Hashem Chevra, as we're starting now in a very growth-oriented mindset, we have to always remember this. Success in Yiddishkeit is having this mentality. It's never enough. I always need more. I desire more. I'm thirsty for more. I'm hungry for more. I want more. More Torah, more mitzvahs, more rithmias, more dveikus with the Bar Yoilam. I'm never satisfied because I want more and more and more. Of course, I can be happy where I'm holding now and feel geschmack and be encourage myself. But to be thirsty for more Torah and more geschmack, it's a mindset. We should be zochet to internalize this mindset. Let it really penetrate and sink into our very core, to our very essence. And I want to just suggest another eitzah, perhaps. How do we stay hungry? How do we stay growth-oriented? We're all, Baruch Hashem, now in different stages in life. Many of us in yeshiva, in the prime. It's gewaldic. How do we stay hungry, stay thirsty, stay true to our identity? And the answer perhaps can be found from the parsha we just read, Vayikra. The karbonos, all about dveikus and being kariv to Hashem. The Torah tells us that if a person had to bring an oila, a korban oila, he'd have to go to Yerushalayim. And the pasuk says, yakriv oto, he has to bring it. He has no choice, he's obligated to bring the korban. But in the end of the pasuk says, lirtzo no, according to his ratzon, according to his will. So which one is it? On the one hand, the Torah tells me, I have to bring a korban. And then the Torah tells me, lirtzo no, it's according to my will. I'm voluntarily bringing it. Which one? The Heilig Chasim Sefer says something so beautiful. Such a very, very, illustrates this with the following scene. Imagine a farmer, Reuven. Reuven lives in the up north in Eretz Yisrael. And he commits a sin where he has to bring an oila offering. And he starts thinking to himself, oy vavoy, I'm all the way up north. I'm going to go all the way down to Yerushalayim. And the Yitzhahara is already attacking and penetrating. You're going to go all the way down to Yerushalayim. Who's going to tend to the farm? Who's going to deal with all the chores? Who's going to take care of the business? Who's going to help? What are you going to do? And then he starts looking over his shoulder and says, oh, look at my neighbor Yankel. Am I such a tzaddik, so much more of a tzaddik than Yankel? When's the last time he went down to Yerushalayim? And the Yitzhahara has many tactics, as we all know. And what about Shimon? He's such a tzaddik, I'm so much better than him. I never seen him go down to Yerushalayim. But finally, finally, Reuven overcomes, and he starts the path. As many, many Yitzharas, he has to leave behind his farm, he has to leave behind his ego, and he has to start marching down to Yerushalayim. That along the way, he meets up with another guy. Let's call him Shimon. Another Shimon. And Shimon says, Reuven, where are you going? I'm going to Yerushalayim. Oh, that's so nice. Family Simcha? And Reuven says, uh-oh. No family Simcha. Oh, yeah, so why are you going? I got business to do. Gotta go. Right? He doesn't want to say it. It's pretty uncomfortable. He feels uncomfortable telling him that he has to go down because of he sins and he has to bring a korban. It's going to affect the shiduchim. So he doesn't want to do it. So he says, I got to attend business. And everybody along the way, he has to make up a different story why he's going to Yerushalayim. He finally gets to Yerushalayim, our farmer Reuben. And what happens? At that point, says the Chasam Sofer, just imagine, what are his feelings? He has no enthusiasm, he has no excitement, no energy. All he's saying is, I have to be here. I have to leave my farm, I have to leave all the chores behind, I had to suffer the embarrassment of everybody asking me what I'm doing here. What an experience. And he gets there, lack of life, lackadaisical, lack of energy. Ugh, I have no choice. Yakrivoto, he has to bring it. But then it all changes. Then it all changes when? When he gets to the courtyard of Yerushalayim, and he sees the Heilige Kohanim in their Avoda, and the Levim singing, and he sees the Sanhedrin Agadol in session, and he sees the miracles that were present in the Beis HaMikdash, and he sees the Kedush and Tara of Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, and he's alive again. And he realizes all that was the Yetzer Hara, all the tactics of the Yetzer Hara, and all he wants now is to connect to God. All he wants to connect to is Avinu Malkeinu and say, oh, of course I want to bring a korban. I want to remove that stain from my neshama. I want to once again reignite, reconnect with Avinu Malkeinu. And says the Chasam Sofer, at the beginning, before he gets to Yerushalayim, he has to do it. It's obligatory. Yakrivoto, he has to bring the korban. But once he gets to Yerushalayim and he sees the Kedusha, sees the truth, and it sinks in and it hits him like a brick in the forehead, he says, oh, this is all I want. All I want is to be here. All I want is to connect with the Divine. And then it's Lirtzono. Then it's according to His will. He's voluntarily bringing the offering. What a beautiful idea. Says the Heilige Rav Pam, the Rosh Yeshiva Tor V'Das, we see from this idea something so crucial. How do we stay hungry? How do we continue to grow? I'm sorry, Yoni man. Chevra. It's all about who we surround ourselves with. It's all about who we position ourselves around. If we're around great Rabbanim, Sadiqim, Talmidei Chachamim, we're going to be inspired by them. We're going to want to be in their footsteps. We're going to want to emulate their ways. When we're around boys that are growth-oriented, that are hungry, that are thirsty, we're going to try to follow suit. To always remember, to stay thirsty is positioning ourselves to be around the right people. And that's a choice we have, who we surround ourselves with. People that are thirsty and hungry, because then it will motivate us. Toiv l'tzadik, toiv l'shchenov. Great for the tzadik, great for his neighbor. When we surround ourselves and position ourselves around the right people, b'nei aliyah, it inspires us, it motivates us to reach greater and greater heights. And that's something to remember for life. Something to remember for life. Surround ourselves in places of Torah, places of growth, places of spirituality, people of growth, people of spirituality, because it rubs off and inspires us to take on new levels in Avodas Hashem. So to conclude, this is Gavaldik. We could go all day. We could go all day. We got Deutsch and Drew. Represent 16, 2016. Unbelievable. Can't make this up. To remember two things. Mirta Hashem, we should always have that mindset to stay thirsty. To stay thirsty. And many of us have these feelings. Write them down. Write them down. These feelings. Make them concrete. Internalize these feelings that we have right now. That we possess right now. Should always be hungry and thirsty for more. Like Moshe Rabbeinu. Even at 80 years old, he still wanted more. He started looking around. Oh, what's going on there? He wanted more. You should always realize there's always a drop of ink more. To want more and more and more. Should always have that mentality. As the great Gaon says in the Evan Shlema, the great Vilna Gaon says so beautifully, so powerfully. I'll read it for you. In Ein Adam Mishtadil Alot Tamid Maila. If a person doesn't try, doesn't make the effort to constantly go up and up, Al karcho yirid matamata. Necessarily, it's going to happen. He's going to fall. He's going to fall down and down and down. That's the Heilige Gaon in the Evan Shlema. If we're not constantly working on ourselves and have that mentality and perspective of going up, we're going to go down. The pull of gravity is so strong. It's so fierce. If we're not pushing and schwitzing and grinding, we're going to go down. So to have that mentality. And secondly, as we just learned from the Chasam Sofer, to surround ourselves with the right people. Have great Rabbanim, great mentors, great friends, great Chevra, great Avira, great surroundings. Because when we're around people that are motivated and excited, we're going to follow suit. We're going to soak it all in. So, Heilu Dechevra, Bezrat Hashem, let's stay thirsty, let's stay motivated. We need Siyata Deshmaya to continue on this beautiful path that we're all on right now, but it's a lifelong journey. Don't forget the words of the Gaon. If we're not striving to go up, we will go down. It's an avoda. It's exhilarating. There's going to be ups and downs, peaks and valleys. And like they do in the hospital room, when it goes up, beeps, up, up and down, that means we're alive. So it's going to fall. But to keep getting up, 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 and up. And when we fall, get back up, and we're going to fall, we're going to get back up. It's a beautiful process. It's called being a Ben Torah. It's the most beautiful bracha, the most beautiful gift in the world. We should be zoiche to keep growing and keep going. Michael, Michael, Yeshkoch Gadol.